Father, come now in the abundant power of your Holy Spirit and sweep through this building, changing all our hearts and minds. Three things we ask of thee, that thou dost open our eyes, that we would see Jesus. Thou dost open our ears, that we would hear Jesus. And that thou dost open our hearts, that we would receive Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As I said earlier on in the service, and I told the children as well, that over the next number of weeks we're going to be looking together at the book of Nehemiah and studying it closely, trying to learn from it. Nehemiah is one of those books that we may just kind of read and skip over in the Old Testament and think, okay, that's a nice wee story there. But there's so much that we can learn from it. We can learn a lot of life lessons. Principles for life is really what I'm calling this sort of 8 weeks in total that we'll be looking at this together. Principles for life. Life lessons. What can we learn from Nehemiah? But maybe to try and get a grasp of it, we need to understand exactly who Nehemiah was in the first place. Nehemiah was a Jewish exile. He was someone who was taken from his home by the king of Babylon, by the Babylonian people, and taken away to a far-off land. He was an exile. You could say that in today's society, perhaps there's hints of it that we see continually in our news. We just have to look at those refugees from Syria, trying to go somewhere else to live a better life. Nehemiah, in essence, was a little bit like that. We are also told, and we read it together in the last verse of chapter 1, that he was the cupbearer to the king. This was an extremely important role that Nehemiah had. He was the one who tasted what the king was going to eat, tasted what the king was going to drink, just in case it was poisoned. He was the one who had the last contact with the king's food and drink before the king himself ate and drank. He was the one who would have been in close contact to the king at all times. And because of this, through time, he became a trusted friend and a counselor to probably the most powerful king in the world at that time. When he heard about Jerusalem and the state in which his home city was lying in, Nehemiah was deeply moved by the news of the state of the walls in Jerusalem. Just as you or I would be deeply moved if we were to see Strabane lying in absolute ruin. And no doubt some in the past have felt that. I was having a chat with someone just before church, and we were talking about how that this month we're remembering the Blitz, and in particular this weekend there are activities right across Northern Ireland remembering the Blitz on Belfast. And I'm sure lots of people reminisce and think about the sights that they saw during that dreadful time in the Second World War. And this is how Nehemiah was feeling. He was distraught, downhearted. He was exceptionally sad. And so today, as we look at chapter 1, and I encourage you to open a Bible if there's one near you and follow it through with me, we see that Nehemiah is dealing with the principles of prayer. We can learn a lot from chapter 1 in our prayer life if we take them to heart. And so this automatically leads me to ask a question. What is your prayer life like? All of us at some stage or another have some form of a prayer life. For some of us, it's like the fast car. It's going at top rate as much as we can get in as short a period of time as possible. I've been in Strabane now over 3.5 years, and I'm still trying to beat the clock when I'm coming from Castle Dawson to Strabane. When I've been down home to see Mum, I'm coming back up again, and I'm trying to see, can I shave a minute off the time? When I'm going home, because I'm going downhill, down Glen Sheen, I try to see if I can shave 2 minutes. The quickest I've done it in it is about 55 minutes. I'm trying for 54, but staying within the law, of course, in case police listen to this online. Sometimes our prayer life is like that. It's for as much as we can get crammed in as short a period as time. It's a fast car. Or for others, our prayer life is a bit like the dodo. Extinct. Doesn't exist at all. For others, our prayer life is a bit like the leap year. Now and again, just whenever we need to. Or for others, our prayer life is like the sunshine. Rises every morning, sets every evening. It is a daily rhythm, a daily routine. But no matter what our prayer life is like, there is so much that we can learn from Nehemiah. We see from verses 4 to 11, that part of Nehemiah which I read this morning, he gives us an example of how to pray. And if we were to take more time and look at it, we actually see a lot of similarities to the prayer which Jesus gave his disciples, which we say every time we meet. Principles of prayer. Number one is to tell God of his greatness. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Nehemiah says in verse 5, you follow it through, he says, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commands. We need to give God praise. Tell him how wonderful he is. Not because he's not humble. Not because God is big-headed and we need to swell his head. But it is more for our benefit. To remind us of who we are interacting with. Of who we are talking with. Tell him of his greatness. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you are a wonderful God, an amazing God. You are a sanctifying God. You are a saving God. You are a God of promises. All the things that we say and mean. Then secondly, Nehemiah then uses a time of confession. We read from verses 6b, the second half of verse 6 and 7, Nehemiah says, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Nehemiah spends time acknowledging before God that not only is he a sinful man, but the community which he is a part of is a sinful community. That's why every time, and I love it in the Anglican Church, every time we meet together, we have a confession of some form or another. Whether it's as we've said this morning, whether it's in the Kyries, the Lord of Mercy, Christ of Mercy, Lord of Mercy, or whether it's just in an intercessional prayer. But as a community, we confess to God the things that we have done wrong. And Jesus said it, forgive us our trespasses or our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. We meet to confess our sins to our Heavenly Father. We need to approach Him wholeheartedly, warts and all. And in acknowledging our sins and confessing them before God, we're showing Him that we are serious. We're serious about our relationship with Him. We just don't let them hang there in limbo in the hope that He might just forget about it. We actually spend time asking Him. That's why He sent Jesus. So that we could approach Him in such a way and do that. The third thing that we read together is that we need to show reverence and submission. We need to remember that in fact we are approaching a holy God. It's not just our next door neighbor. But that actually we need to be reverent before God. And respect Him. Be in fear of Him. Not fear as in that we're terrified of Him, but fear as in respect. Verse 6a says, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants and the people of Israel. Nehemiah is saying to the Lord, please, I'm not commanding you, but I'm asking. I'm asking you to have mercy on us and to look at us, to to have compassion towards us. As we sang a few minutes ago, the King of Love, my shepherd is. Showing him the reverence and respect that he needs and he so deserves. And fourthly, we learn from Nehemiah that prayer is based on God's promises. God is a God of promises. We were thinking about that with the children and the rainbow from the story of Noah. But God promises. He fulfills his promise. He tells us in the book of Isaiah through the prophet that I will send one. We read exactly what will happen. And he did. He sent Jesus. And exactly as Isaiah wrote it, it happened. See in the book of Micah how he promised to send one. As Micah foretold it, so it happened. God said to Noah, never again will I flood the earth. Has God flooded the earth since? No, he hasn't. And yet there are many times I'm sure he feels like doing it. But he doesn't. Because he's a God of promises. Nehemiah says in verses 8 and 9, remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. Pause there. God did it. He said to Moses, the people's unfaithful, I'll scatter them. Nehemiah's in exile. God scattered them among the nations. Then he says, but if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Nehemiah is saying, Lord, you've done it. You've scattered us. Now please bring us home. Saying, Lord, this is what you promised. We're looking for it. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus said, and we think about it at Ascension Tide, he said, I will leave you, but I will come back. And when we pray, thy kingdom come, we are praying, Lord, come back. In our collects that we pray every week, we are reminding God of his promises in them. Look at them, every single one of them in the prayer book. We are reminding God of something that he has done in the past, and we're asking him to do the promise of the future. Every single one of them, without fail. Look at them and you'll see. And then fifth and finally, Nehemiah says to present your request. Only after you've done all these other things, Nehemiah says, then it's time to ask him what you really want. You need to firstly tell him how good he is. Secondly, confess your sins to him. Thirdly, show him reverence. Fourthly, remind him of his promises. And then fifthly, ask him. Nehemiah says in verse 11, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. Nehemiah knew that if he was going to have any chance of getting back near Jerusalem, he needed to have permission from King Artaxerxes. I think that's how he said it. He needed permission of the person who now trusted him to taste his food. The king trusted Nehemiah not to put poison in it after he tasted it. Nehemiah knew he needed to approach the king and get permission. And he does, but it doesn't happen instantly. It takes a period of time. It takes roughly, when we work out the Jewish calendar till today's calendar, it takes roughly about 4 months, just shy of it, before Nehemiah has the opportunity to ask the king. And Nehemiah prayed this way every day. He prayed every day. He was like the sun in his prayer life. He prayed every day, asking the Lord to let him find favor in the eyes of the king. Present your request to the Lord, and he hears our prayer. Let me challenge you for the next week. Pray a Nehemiah prayer. Take time every day, whether it's first thing in the morning or last thing in the evening, in the middle of the day as you're driving your car, keep your eyes open. Pray a Nehemiah prayer. Tell God how good He is, what He has done in your life. There's not a day goes by that I don't thank the Lord for the day He saved me. Confess to Him. There's not a day goes by that I don't tell Him the sins that I've committed, because I sin every day. And that's no excuse to sin. Show Him reverence and submission. Come before Him. I don't know whether you kneel at the side of your bed, or whether you sit quietly in a room, or whether it's as you're driving the car. But do it reverently. Remember that He is a great God, and He could in an instant take us out. Fourthly, pray based on His promises. God has promised it. He's going to do it. And fifthly, give Him your requests. And I'm going to give you a request. As I've challenged you to pray a Nehemiah prayer every day this week, I'm going to ask you to pray for one thing in particular, and then pray for whatever else you want. But I want you to pray for our buildings. Because as you know, we've had dry rot, and we still need to finish the outside of the church. And as you also know, during Holy Week, our hall kitchen went on fire. What's happening in our buildings? Perhaps it's coincidental. Perhaps it's not. I don't know. But pray for our buildings. Do a Nehemiah prayer for our buildings. Promise that we remind Him. God is faithful to the end. How do we praise Him? Because He said He would send the chief cornerstone, and He did. Let's pray together. Loving Father, we do thank You for Your goodness, Your love towards us, for how You care for us. Father, place on each of our hearts a Nehemiah prayer. Help us to be like the sun this coming week, and to spend that daily rhythm praying a Nehemiah prayer. Praying of how good You are, confessing our sins, showing You reverence, praying about Your promises, and giving You our requests. Lord, draw us into that nearer relationship with You. Help us to accept Your Son as our Savior. Help us to live daily for Him. For we pray this in His name. Amen.